By contrasting Christ with Moses, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews demonstrates the infinite superiority of Jesus, the Son of God, over Moses, the servant of God. Both were faithful in their calling, but Christ is worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For Moses was a servant in the household of God's people, Israel, while Christ is the Son in charge of God's house, the Church, of which he is the builder. Therefore believers should fix their thoughts on Jesus, who was sent by the Father and is the High Priest whom they confess. As Jewish believers were sometimes tempted to give up their faith in Christ and return to Judaism, the writer quotes a passage from Psalm 95 to warn them against unbelief and disobedience to God's will. "Today, if you hear his voice," he says, "do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert." Who were they who heard and rebelled, the writer asks. Were they not all those that Moses led out of Egypt? The Israelites had heard the voice of God and seen his wonderful works, but because they sinned through unbelief, they were not able to receive the promised inheritance. They could not enter into God's rest, and their bodies fell in the desert. The promise of entering God's rest is still offered today through faith in Christ. Believers therefore should be careful, lest they fail to enter the land of their inheritance through lack of faith in the message of salvation and disobedience to the living Word of God. "For the Word of God is alive and active," declares the author of the epistle. "It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and lies open before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." This word of warning is followed by a word of encouragement. Believers have in heaven a great high priest who is able to sympathize with their weaknesses, having been tempted in every way as they are, yet was without sin. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence," says the writer, "so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was divinely appointed to an eternal priesthood in heaven, is the perfect high priest to represent his people before God. He understands their suffering, having suffered himself. By his obedience in the things he suffered, he became the perfect substitute for sinful man, having been made the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. In comparison to the priesthood of the Old Covenant, the priestly office of Jesus Christ is infinitely superior. Aaron's priesthood had no lasting value for the removal of sin, as the law of Moses made nothing perfect, and it was not permanent, because death removed the priests from office. But Jesus, because he lives forever, has a better priesthood, like that of the king priest Melchizedek, who is described as having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Therefore Christ is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. "Such a high priest meets our need," declares the writer, "one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices for sin day after day, for he offered one sacrifice once and for all, when he offered himself. The author of the epistle was troubled about the spiritual immaturity of many Hebrew believers, who were slow to understand and made no progress in the life of faith. They were mere infants, because they needed to be taught the elementary truths of the Word of God all over again. Instead of taking the solid doctrinal food of adults, they were still drinking milk. The writer urges them to press on in the faith, lest they fall away from grace and come under divine judgment. For if they believed and then denied the Son of God, it would be as though they had crucified him all over again and were exposing him to public shame. However, the writer expresses his confidence that the better things concerning salvation would be theirs. As God is not unjust, he would not forget their many acts of kindness and love. But believers must persevere to the end, in order to make their hope of salvation sure, and through faith and patience inherit the promises. Next episode, the Epistle to the Hebrews concluded.